Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Mein Name ist Lele Lukas. Ihr hört ein All-You-Can-Eat-Interview mit Blaue Blume. Das ist eine dänische Band und an dieser Stelle auch das letzte Reeperbahn-Festival-Interview aus dieser kleinen Reihe. Es hat angefangen mit Goddamn vor irgendwie ein paar Wochen und jetzt Blaue Blume ist an dieser Stelle das letzte. Das ist aber auch ein Reeperbahn-Festival gewesen, was schon eine Weile her ist. Blaue Blume ist, wie gesagt, eine dänische Band mit sehr abgefahrenen Stimmlagen. In Dänemark sehr, sehr erfolgreich. Hierzulande hat das, glaube ich, nicht so gut funktioniert, aber das ist auch vollkommen okay. Schöne Musik, schönes Interview, auch wieder in einem Garten auf der Reeperbahn. Wer hätte das gedacht? Wenn ihr das, was hier passiert, cool findet, dann lasst uns doch einen so 5 Sterne oder so bei iTunes übrig. Das wäre total cool von euch. Ansonsten, dragonseedeverything.com ist der Ort für mehr davon. Und alle 2 Wochen mittwochs All You Can Eat, die Radiosendung bei Alex Berlin auf 91.0. Und jetzt halte ich auch die Klappe, damit ihr das Interview mit Blaue Blume genießen könnt.
Let's do the introduction again, if you don't mind.
Yeah. My name is Robert. I play guitar in Blaue Blume. Yeah.
And my name is Sean, and I play the drums in Blaue Blume, and I'm Robert's brother.
Okay. That's pretty good that I got drums and guitar, because it's not only the rhythm section, and it's not only the guitar people. So we have perspectives from all over the place. Have you played together forever, basically, or was there a point where you couldn't stand each other, so you didn't play in bands together?
You mean brother-wise, or
yeah, or just I don't know when did you start playing music?
We started when we were kids, 10 years old, kind of
10 and 8, I guess.
Yeah, and then we just we had a drum set in a very small room in our parents' house, and then moved the guitar and been there, and then we just played along. I remember that's how it started, and then we played together, the two of us, in different constellations over the years, and then back in 2006, Søren started to play with Jonas, the lead singer of Blaue Blume, and they met in high school and they started to play together, and later on me and Peter, the bass player, we joined in. So yeah, so we've played together all our lives, and
And Blaue Blume has been playing together since 2009, I think, around 2009.
Yeah. So the band has been around for a really long time.
No, I'm as an official thing, we haven't been around for more than a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, what makes it official?
That you
put something out.
Yeah, that people can listen to it, I think.
What made you decide to not make it official for 3 years?
I guess we just didn't feel that we had the material ready. I mean, we took a lot of time out to just do different things together. Like, we had the rehearsal space in the village or the town, the smaller town that we come from, the four of us. And we rehearsed a lot and made a lot of different songs. And some of them we really liked and some of them were thrown out. And we played a few concerts, but we didn't know what to do with it. I mean, it's not easy to know how to get your music out the best way. So we did some other stuff, like traveling the U.S. We lived in a car for the whole autumn of 2011. And then when we came back from that, at Christmas, we took a trip, the four of us, to a coast house on the northern coast of Zealand, north from Copenhagen, and we lived there for 7 months and sketched out the first batch of songs that we were to release and recorded them while we were staying there, and then a year later they were done, they were mixed, and the vocals were right and everything felt right about some of the songs, and then we put On New Year's out on SoundCloud, and it luckily got picked up really quick. But I mean, that was not something we planned for. We just waited till the music felt right to us, and that seems to have been a good choice, since that the music then felt good to other people.
Are you perfectionist in that? Like, it's just the outside perspective is kind of that. I've never been really in a band, but my feeling has always been that people when they play in a band, they want to get their stuff out to people to that on whatever stage it is.
Yeah,
for people.
Sure. I think you can say that in some aspects we are sort of perfectionist. Also especially when it's the first you are to put out, you kind of your expectations about what this is going to be, your demands of yourself is just incredibly high. So it's a but it was also in our case, at least I believe that it was the right thing to do, because
the songs got better.
They got better, the productions got better, we got closer, we played better together, something which has also definitely been refined. Improved after in the last year when we've played quite a batch of shows. But yeah, we are perfectionists in many ways, I think.
It's an interesting approach, because I always hear the, like, if you have something you have to put it out just to see how it is to have it there, and there's the certain which I can totally see the point of that, you really want to be confident in what you put out, which is
we do that as well, but I just think we do it within a closed circle. I mean, I wouldn't test a song with my audience. I mean, I want to stay in a way perfect to them, so that when they hear something, it sounds finished. It sounds like we can't make a mistake. And then the other part of it is for our close friends and our family, just to see how people in general react to a song.
I mean, we have lots of good friends who also who we trust, and who are also musicians and people who play and write music all the time. So it's obvious to get some feedback from them, and then it stays inside the circle of friends, and that's just great.
I like the idea of having to be perfect to the audience. Has that always been like?
In some way, it always was, but we didn't have an audience when we put the first song out, so it would be arrogant to do something for an audience that didn't exist. But I just think that we've always liked the idea of staying unknown in a way, and mystical to the people who listen to us, like staying a thing that they can't grasp within the first few seconds. I mean, they don't know what it is. They hear it, and then they like it, and maybe they don't like it, but at least they can't see right through it, and just like they don't know us.
Yeah, and I think it's important to distinguish between wanting to seem perfect and to be perfect. That's a different thing. I mean, it's not like we believe that what we do is perfect. It's just
that, actually we don't.
Yeah, we don't do. But it's just what we sort of strive for, and I think that's really important to have some visions and some ideals, ambitions, which are much higher than you will ever be able to reach. No.
Wait, I lost it. You said that people have difficulties getting into the music, like, or understanding it.
I'm not saying that they necessarily have. I'm just saying that I don't want to, or we don't want to give out everything. I always felt that it was nice to discover an artist, to listen to a song and feel curious about where it came from.
Yeah.
And maybe if I couldn't find it, I wanted to search harder to find out about this person. And not that people know our identity and our faces and stuff like that. It's not in that way. It's just that, I mean, I know who we are as persons, and our friends do,
yeah,
but no one else does. Maybe they think they do, but they only know the music, and they can never know if the music is
in what way it represents who us. We are, no. And, yeah.
as private persons.
And that's interesting to because in our music, I believe we are quite there are many different paths in what we do. So even within a single concert, you can be taken to different places, and when you hear one song, you think, okay, they're like this and that, and then you hear another song, and then it doesn't fit anymore, and you have to rethink of who we are, and that's interesting to not. I mean, people always need to put things in boxes, but you don't. At least you don't have to help them do it.
You don't have to give them the box.
No.
And also, it's just, I mean, if we got on stage and were exactly the persons that we are when we're not on stage, I don't think the show would be as good. Mm. It's nice to put on a show, and we don't want to fool ourselves. We don't want to only play for ourselves. We like to play for an audience, and that kind of requires that we perform. We are performers. Yeah. In a way, not that it's... I think it's weird to. It's hard to differentiate.
Yeah.
Between the two things, between the person I'm, or we are not on stage, and when we're on stage, because in a way I feel that I don't do anything different. Mm. But on the other hand, the things we do on stage we never do when we're not on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. How do you write the songs, and how far are you involved in the songwriting? Do you all write together as a band, or does it come from one space?
The process is pretty much that Jonas comes with the skeleton to the song. I mean, he comes with the harmonies and the melodies, and then he, most of the times, he just puts down his guitar, and Robert and Peter is fast enough to catch on to the chords within the first few times he played to us, and then we kind of rebuild it to find the sound of the song. So I guess you can say that the songwriting is Jonas's part, and then the arrangement and the production is a four-way thing.
And I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't be completely wrong if I said that what we're sort of seeking in that way, and what Jonas is also seeking. I mean, he would love to if we could be within the same mind, the four of us. That's simply not possible. I mean, we try to get to that place by being together all the time. I mean, we're best friends and playing a band, so we spend all our times together, basically. So we try to reach that common mind where we are just a unit.
Don't have to say anything.
No, where we could just, you know, the music comes by itself, but. So that's what we're trying to do when Jonas presents the song and everyone knows it, and then starts from basic again, sort of like if we had all come up with the idea. So now we know the sketches, now we know it, and then we can together build it up.
And it can take new directions from that point. Not every time, but I guess that sometimes the things that happen in the rehearsal space makes a piece of the song sound in a way that Jonas hadn't seen coming. Mm. And then the piece feels different to him when he starts working on the melodies and stuff, and maybe changes something in reference to what happened in the rehearsal space, and then it's kind of a ping pong back and forth until the song is done.
How's that lyrically? Does he write the lyrics as well?
Yeah.
How do you receive the lyrics? Does he explain them to you? Do you just get them?
Yes. Sometimes he explains. I mean, sometimes we talk about it. Sometimes we.
Does it interest you?
Definitely. And I think we are much interested in it. I mean, it's because the band is the four of us, and even though that Jonas is the main songwriter and write off the lyrics, and I I much enjoy. I mean, that's also a thing I so enjoy to play along with the songs he comes up with, and enjoy listening to his lyrics, because I find them to be really good. So lots of joy connected to it, definitely.
Have there been times when you were like, hey, that is maybe not, like, are you allowed to, do you work on the lyrics together in some ways? Do you have any influence?
Only when he asks us about it. I mean, I don't feel that I'm in a place where I neither want to or can edit the lyrics. Yeah. I mean, I believe that he's a way better lyrics writer than I am, so I don't even feel like it. But sometimes he wants to talk about what we think about what he has written. If we think that maybe he's in a pickle, is this too ironic, is this too cheesy, whatever, and then we can talk about it, and he takes the feedback home and works on. But no, I wouldn't say that we comment on it
I was more thinking on the lines of like identification with the songs, because the lyrics are a really important part of that
Well, obviously we cannot have the exact same relation to the songs, simply because some of the things he writes about
taken straight out of his own life.
It's personal stuff, and so I mean it cannot be any different than he has his relation to it, and we can relate to it as if it was another lyricist who we read.
But also because, I mean, we know him so well that we know when he writes about a topic, we know what that is also behind the curtains. We're not only allowed to know what it's about through the lyrics, we can know where it comes from.
Okay. So, yeah. So I think that's... that's how it is, and it's a little different when it comes to the music, because when a song is done, when we have completed a work, then there's so many aspects within that work that has come from all the four of us. So that's a more straightforward relationship to that.
Yeah, you have more freedom. To edit, if you can say it like that.
I just personally find it always very interesting to see or hear more than like how the, because you often have one person who writes the songs or who has a very central role in the band, and I'm always wondering how the other people who are more or less involved with it can identify with the songs. The lyrics are often made in a way sense to get a message across, maybe some might say it's to get like things off your chest, of course, as well, and that's the thing that other people relate to when they understand the lyrics, when it clicks, and that's how that is in a band. I always find personally very interesting.
Much of the stuff that Jonas writes about in his lyrics I can sort of relate to personally as well, and also, as like Søren said, because I believe some of the things have also developed through conversations and discussions with us, and or at least
happened in the time we knew him.
Yeah, and because have known him. Because we talk a lot as friends and about lots of different things, so. And then suddenly, there's an output, and the topics of it, the angle of how he might approach something, we could probably recognize from the person we know and from our relationship with him and his relationship to us and stuff like that. So it's obviously it's more what would you say, a complicated but intricate.
But I feel that it's not like you know those bands where there's the lead guy and then there's the backing band, and if a show doesn't work out, the backing band don't care. I mean, it's not their show, it's not their career.
No, but I didn't get that. I didn't get
no
that
no image no. But that's also just to say that I feel and I know that all of us feel invested enough in the songs that we can take it personal if people maybe don't like it or if we don't find it to be good enough. Everyone gets high when something is really good, and everyone gets super bummed out when something is not so good. Because yeah, I just feel that that on I mean my part in the music.
Yeah, there's definitely a personal connection.
There's a personal connection, but there's also an a bidrag.
Hvad fanden hedder det?
Contribution.
Yeah.
From my side. I mean, there's definitely a part of the songs that wouldn't be there. No. Maybe some other part would be from another guy, but certainly something that that either one of us has put into to this exact sound and this exact work.
And of course, it's something which tears lots of bands apart. I think you've heard of that because if they cannot find out what role they have in the project and who is stealing the spotlight and stuff like
that's
that.
A group dynamics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the most important thing is to respect each other as persons and as artists in this and we do and I know that I know that's a mutual thing that I mean I respect CERN, Jonas, Peter for what they do and for who they are, and I'm sure it goes straight back, and that's really important because if you don't do then it won't work and you have to also find pleasure in what the others do. I mean, not be too self-centered. I mean, if I like Søren said, if I thought that what I could write much better lyrics or I could write better songs, then there's a problem. But I so enjoy what's happening and what the others do.
Yeah, I would say that Jonas is definitely the best lyricist and the best songwriter in the band, and Peter is definitely the best bassist, and Robert is definitely the best drummer, best guitarist, and I'm definitely the best drummer. I mean that's at least how I feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's not necessarily a thing that needs to be that way, but I think it's good for the group dynamics, as you said. Yeah. I feel like at least I can't be replaced by the other guys in the band.
And I can't replace them.
And I can't replace them. I when it all comes down, my ideas for their instrument are just almost all the time not as good and original.
So I gotta be honest, I really want to go and see the White Album.
Sure.
So I'm gonna ask like finishing questions. You have 4 or 5 songs on Spotify. I think I saw that were
now.
The nine? Yeah, nine songs? So we can hear if someone wants to, they can hear 9 songs from you guys, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean we released an EP in June, which is that's the newest thing we have, and then we just released 4 songs, but 3 of it's 4 older songs. They're older than the EP. It's on New Year's Eve, Jealousy Helen, which we put out. And a fourth song from the same session, the same older session, which we just hadn't made public. So we decided to officially release those songs, which had just been.
Yeah, a lot of people listen to the songs through Spotify, so it just felt like a good idea to make them available.
Yeah.
And we've kind of tried to make a big deal out of not making a big deal out of it, because we don't want people to think that this is new material, because it's not.
We are writing new material for an album to come.
And we're playing 3 new songs tonight.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So there's definitely.
But there is
the
there is nine songs that
very
you
much.
Can listen to on Spotify.
Yeah.
I really.
And the EP is available from everywhere where someone has internet. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
All right.
It is. And it's.
Well, that's of no relevance for this radio show, but yeah, you can also buy a vinyl tonight.
And if I am correct, you're playing in Berlin October 9th, 8th for the Yaya music 9th. Thing?
Yeah.
9th? Which is... Yeah. And are you going to be around after that, or are you going to hole up in a studio and come out when everything is done?
Maybe for a couple of days. I think we have an apartment we can crash in, so we might take one or two more days in Berlin. That's always nice.
Yeah, we know some.
If we can find the time.
I mean, meant for more for like, are you gonna play any more shows?
No.
In the
no, just the one.
Just one. All right. Cool. Yeah. You were there for the Nordic Vibes thing, right?
Yeah, the Midsommar.
Yeah.
That was fun. Great
that
show.
Was a good show.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear anything, see nothing either. From where I was like,
yeah.
Hopefully yeah,
you can hear and see more tonight.
Yeah, that's the plan. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Mehr findet ihr auf dragonseateverything.com oder auf facebook.com/dragonseateverything.